2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. By the way, that pestilence, look that word up. It's what America's beginning to suffer with, this Ebola and other things. Folks, listen to me. There are more right now mystery diseases that are affecting people in America than is ever. And I mean, people can't figure it out. And yet this idea of pestilence, read it in connection with the end times and part of the judgment that comes upon a nation. So think about this. If I send pestilence among my people, watch verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to take these Bible principles that was presented to the King of Israel. And Lord, we're going to say, Lord, that we can learn from it as Americans, dear God. And I pray for the United States of America, Lord. My heart is burdened for my nation. I pray for the great state of Indiana, Lord. I'm burdened for my state. I mean, I'm born here, raised here, ministered here, educated here. My whole life's been here, dear God. And I pray for the Hoosier state, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, dear God, to get this state pointed back in a positive and right and godly direction, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to us through the preaching and teaching of your word throughout the day, but especially in this hour, Lord, help us understand that every single Christian can impact America through prayer and through purity. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to step up and do our part, Lord, in the reclaiming of America back to its Christian roots and Christian values. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is a well-known verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's just a verse that's been preached on over and over again, and there's a reason for that. It contains great information for a nation that's in trouble, and the nation of America is in trouble today. Many of you, we mentioned it some on Wednesday night, are watching the progress of this as the militant homosexuals are now deciding that what they're going to do is persecute the Church of Jesus Christ. You've got a lesbian mayor down in Houston that's decided that she's going to subpoena the sermons of preachers in the Houston area to see whether or not what they've been preaching against and whether they've mentioned her name. You want to come tonight. I'm going to preach a message entitled Subpoena This. And I promise you this, I will send a link to her email address. She does not have to subpoena this message. She will get it free of charge. She doesn't have to spend any legal fees to get it. I sent her an email yesterday. I'm going to send one today. I'll send one tomorrow. And I'm also packaging up a Bible, and I'm going to send it to her. And by the way, we'll have her address in the back. She wanted to subpoena the sermons of the pastors. Why give them the sermons when you can just give her the source of all of the sermons and get her a Bible to her office? And I told this to Brother Klein. I said, I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to just, every Christian American needs to send a Bible down to the city hall and to her office there in Houston, Texas. I'd like to see about 1 million Bibles show up in this week. And Brother Klein sent me a leak this week, and that idea has been thought of by other people, and it's being embraced and being. And I'm going to send my Bible out with yellow highlight marker on the verses that I feel are particularly should be interesting to her and addresses the lifestyle that she lives. And if I'm making some of you a little nervous right now, get over being nervous. Homosexuality is a sin that's condemned by the Word of God. It is not my opinion versus this mayor's opinion. It is God's holy word that has condemned this all through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. No rational, person that can read with any reading comprehension should have any trouble opening the King James Bible and realizing that God detests and hates that sin. It's a wicked abomination against him. And God's judgment comes upon a nation. All through the history of this book comes upon any nation that begins to embrace that sin. It's unpatriotic to be a homosexual. It's unpatriotic to support the sin of homosexuality. And so if she thinks that, or any politician thinks that they can use intimidation tactics to quiet the pulpits of America, they're going to find out some things about men of God that are true men of God. And they're not going to back down, and certainly that would include your pastor. I want to talk to us as Christians today, though we can preach against the sins of the nation, and we should, and we can sometimes point fingers as far as how did we get here and point to different groups that are anti-God, anti-Bible, the atheists, the agnostics, the abortion crowd, the homosexual, militant homosexual crowd. We can point to all those things, but folks, listen to me. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. This sermon this morning is for us. Because you know what? I think if we aren't careful, we become an expert on everybody else's sins and shortcomings and fail to realize that we've gotten where we've gotten because of the Church of Jesus Christ and the condition of the church. These were God's chosen people, the Israelites were. These are God's chosen people. And God, it is God, by the way, don't watch this. It is God who has the power to send blessings upon a nation or withhold blessings upon a nation. It is God that has the power to put a curse upon a nation and send judgment upon a nation. But it's interesting in this portion of Scripture, watch this. It is the people of God primarily who determine the blessings of God upon a nation. It is the people of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name. Folks, Christians, think about that. Christians, we're called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if you would claim to be a Christian, then you are called by his name. If you are a child of God and you're saved today, then you know what? You are part of the my people group. My people is referring to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people in this portion of Scripture. They were God's people because, watch this, of God's choice. My people in the New Testament age are born again Christians, God's redeemed people. We became God's people because of our choice. And I want to tell you this, watch this. You know what? Somebody said this recently. You know what? God chose Israel unto himself, but America chose God. And we did in our early days. We chose to be a Christian nation. Watch this. Stay with me. When America was strong in her Christian faith, she received the miraculous blessings of God in abundance. As America forsakes her Christian heritage and instead embraces false gods or declared unbelief, she's beginning to receive the judgments of God in abundance. The most patriotic thing you can do as an American today is this. If you are not saved, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the most patriotic thing you can do. You see, God blesses a Christian nation, and God judges a heathen nation. That's been his pattern from day one. That's how he lives. That's how he operates. Nothing is ever going to change that. And America's not the exception. You know what we need? We need a bunch of people that are lost to get saved. We need a lot of people that are at home to get in church. We need people that are ignoring the Bible to start reading the Bible. We need a bunch of folks that are prayerless to become prayerful. We need a revival in America. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me not go past this point without encouraging you. Listen, we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. And you know what? God will not allow unforgiven sin to walk through the gates of heaven. And you'll either have those sins covered and cleansed and erased under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll go to a devil's hell. You'll do one of two, but you're not going to do it your way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm going to talk mostly this morning to those that are born again. The name of the message, Impacting America Through Prayer and Purity. Listen to me, folks. You may be saved here today, but you may not be impacting your nation in a positive way because we must be involved in these two things according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 14. If we hope to see revival, we need to become proactive in these areas of both prayer and purity. Look at the verse again. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Let's stop right there. Prayer, first of all, requires humility. You see, folks, it's a proudful thing. It's the sin of pride that causes a Christian not to pray. Look right up here, and I'm going to let you do the evaluation of your own heart. But could it be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's young people that are sitting here that has not said one word to God. You have not prayed a meaningful, heartfelt prayer for an entire week. You have not prayed. Could it be right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a Bible preaching church, that there could be young adults or middle-aged adults or senior saints that have gone an entire week and you've been prayerless? Prayerless. We have not because we ask not. That's what the Bible says. And we have preacher, what is the basis of the sin of prayerlessness? Let me give you. You know what produces prayerlessness? Pride produces prayerlessness. Write that down somewhere. Put that into your mind. Pride produces prayerlessness. Notice the first thing on the list in this formula for revival is not prayer. It's humility. Say, preacher, why don't I pray? Come on, help me. Why don't I pray? Because you're proud. Because you don't think you need God. Because you don't think you need God's help. You don't need God's strength. You don't need God's wisdom. You've got this thing under control. You think in your own strength you can live your life. Why ask God for anything? I got what I need. I know what I need. Listen, it's the pride of the American Christian that's caused us to vacate the prayer closets. It's the pride of the American Christian that walks out of a prayer meeting instead of participating in a prayer meeting. It's the pride of the American Christian that's made up their mind that united prayer no longer can have an impact on a nation. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. We sing it. Most Christians have never done it. Never spent an hour. Never, never in their life have spent one solid hour at one time uninterrupted in prayer. And boy, if we don't decide that it's necessary to begin to pray, we never will. We have no chance of seeing revival in America. Let's face it down, folks. Humility must precede prayer. I think God's going to humble us one way or another. How many of you would agree, if you know your Bible, how many would agree there's two possibilities here? A Christian can either humble themselves or God will humble them. Based on the scriptures, I assure you, one of the two things is going to happen because God cannot very long stand the stench of pride. He looks down at his people and they're a prayerless people. Why? Because they're a prideful people. I've got everything I need. I just eat, drink, and be merry. I've got all my needs met. I mean, I'm living on Easy Street. I don't need God. And God can say, I can take you off. Listen, God can change your address real quick. He can take you off and he can take America off Easy Street in a heartbeat and get us back to the point where we have to get every day on our knees and say, give us this day our daily bread. Is that what it's going to take in America, folks? There's preachers that are looking me in the eye and saying, preacher, outside of intense persecution or a national disaster, we have no hope for revival amongst God's people. And I say to myself, how did we get so full of wicked pride that God would have to send a national disaster or an economic collapse or another depression just to get people who saved their saved back in church? Say they're saved back on their knees. Say they're saved. Back right with God. What is that God is going to have to do to get the attention of America? How much better would it be for us just to humble ourselves? How much better would it be for God, maybe for the first time in a long time, to hear your voice? Please listen to me. Your voice. And look down from heaven and see you on your knees. See your tears, your humility, your acknowledgement of your dependency upon him. To hear your requests. Listen, God's done everything for us. Thank you for that special song. Thank you for the message of that song. Jesus left the portals of heaven. Jesus left his throne. He's done his part. Good night. He sought us out. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And yet we refuse to seek God even after we're saved. It begins with humility. Folks, listen to me. We need an old-fashioned Holy Ghost baptism of of humility. We need God. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, impacting America through prayer. Folks, listen to me. God responds to prayer. God responds to prayer. You have not because you ask not. Prayer requires faith. Prayer and fasting is encouraged in the Bible when things get bad and we need a miracle, the miraculous to happen. Prayer and fasting. Listen, Impact America Week. I'm not going to lay everything out for you, but I think this week ought to involve times of united prayer. I've scheduled those times, but it ought to include times of private prayer. And I think God's people ought to spend some time fasting at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If we're going to impact America, you know what? We ought to care enough about the condition our country is in to miss a meal or two this week and get on our knees and say, God, help us in this upcoming election. God, help us to get righteous men back into positions of service. And God, please, dear God, help us to get the pagans out and Christian people back in positions of authority. Prayer is needed as we near this election. Pray that God will place men of character, men of integrity, men who support the Bible principles into positions of authority in our community, in our state house, and in our federal government. Pray in godly men. Pray out ungodly men. We need to hit our knees and begin to pray if we're going to impact America. We have prayer meeting opportunities tonight, 6 o'clock to 6:45. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock to 6:45. Wednesday night, we're going to have a special time of united prayer on Wednesday, the conclusion of Wednesday night service. That's your united prayer opportunities. But listen, folks, thank God for the prayer closet. And every one of us just need to ramp it up this week when it comes to getting serious about this matter of prayer. So we're going to try to impact America through prayer. God still responds. I don't know how to get this. I wish I could capture your attention and get you to understand. I'm not talking about other people. I'm not talking about somebody in some other pew. I want you to understand you have power with God through prayer. You can impact your... You can! Preacher, I don't know if prayer matters. It does matter. You can make a difference by praying. You can make a... Preacher, I'm a senior saint now, and be honest with you, I'm limited as far as physically what I used to do, but you can pray! And folks, that's not secondary level activity. Prayer should be priority. And every single one of us, I pray we'd walk up and down. Listen, everything we do this week, we need to just bombard heaven. Dear God, please. Indiana's in trouble. Our community's in trouble. Come on, folks. Are you reading the papers? Our community's in trouble. I think the devil's taken over, and I think he's taken over because we have not provided the prayer hedge around our community that we need to provide. Listen, we ought to be praying for those in authority, as we mentioned in our Sunday school lesson, and praying for each other, and praying for our community, and praying for our cities, and praying for our state, and praying for our nation. You can impact America. I don't think time spent praying is wasted time. I don't think it's wasted time. I think God hears it, and I think God responds to it, and God reacts to it. We need to impact America through prayer. Number two, and there's a two-point message. Can you believe it? Number two, impacting America through purity. Stay with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Now, praying is bringing prayer requests to God, asking God for specific things. But I don't want to jump over this next phrase, and seek my face, because you see, folks, and seek my face must come before and turn from their wicked ways. You see, one of the great things about spending time in prayer is that all of the time before the throne of grace, all the time communicating with God does not need to be asking time. Sometimes we just need to seek the face of God. You know, one of the reasons, again, watch this, that Christians today do not pray. Number one, pride. Watch this. Number two, sinfulness. You see, folks, if we go into the presence of a holy God and spend time really seeking the face of God. Come on, you know what I'm saying here? Have you ever done it in your life where you've decided, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to stay in the presence of God and ask the Holy Spirit to put me before the throne of God and I'm going to stay there till I seek the face of God? You see, folks, when you see God's face and you get in God's presence, you're in the presence of perfect holiness. Perfect holiness. Jesus said that the reason he was going to send the Holy Spirit of God was to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Think about that. Sin and righteousness and judgment. What's that mean? You know what? we need to first of all be convicted of our sin. And the way we become convicted of our sin, watch this, the sinfulness of man compared to the righteousness of, and watch that, righteousness of God. Did you think about that for a minute? Watch this. You know what? Your sin will never seem sinful to you if you avoid the presence of God. Now, I'm going to help some of you good Christians. Come on. Some of us have decided we're just, man, we're as holy as we can get. I mean, good night. We reek of holiness. I mean, when we walk down the street, we leave holiness footprints behind us. We drip of it. You know why you feel that way about yourself? Because you hang around people that are less holy than you. Okay, you read the paper and cluck your tongue and, oh, those heathens. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm glad I'm not as even as that publican, you know. And you want to compare yourself to people that are less holy than you so you can feel holy. Hey! Come over here and join me in the presence of Almighty God. I don't care how good I think I'm doing. I don't care how good I think my life is, how clean I feel like I am. If I will spend time in the presence of God pretty soon, as I sit in His presence and compare His righteousness to my righteousness, I've got to throw my hand up and say Isaiah was right. Our righteousness are filthy rags compared to the holiness of God. You know what will keep you humble? Is getting into the presence of God. You know what will keep you from becoming a Pharisee? Stay in the presence of God. Listen, folks, we will not turn from our wicked ways because we do not recognize our wicked ways. And we don't recognize our wickedness because we won't get in the presence of holiness. It's a lot easier just to avoid that whole scene as far as getting in the presence of God and just kind of living over here in pretend land thinking we're a good Christian. But I will tell you this, God put this formula down and He worded it the way He worded it for a reason. He said, first, humble yourself. Second, pray. Then just sit there in my presence and seek my face till you become aware of my holiness. And then you know what you'll become aware of as you become aware of my holiness? Your wickedness. I'm talking to church people. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Christian school kids, homeschool kids. I'm talking about, listen, if you avoid the presence of God, you have nothing to compare. Nothing compare your life to. Other than the lives of other people and look around. The world's in a mess, so it's easy for us to sit over here and think we feel pretty good about ourselves. But let me say this, folks. It's not producing revival. Pretend holiness isn't producing revival. It's just not. And we must get into the presence of God. Let me ask you this. If God were to begin to point out to you areas where you are walking in a wicked way, would you be willing to repent from that? Because the Bible doesn't say here, just become aware of your wickedness. What does it say? It says, and turn from their wicked ways. This is called repentance. It's a word we hardly hear from the pulpit anymore. Repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is a change of direction, a change of heart. I mean, you're going this way and all of a sudden you realize, good night, this isn't the way to go. And you turn around and you go the opposite way. That's repentance. And repentance is needed in salvation, but it's not just a message for lost people. Christians need to repent. This is written to my people. We've become so used to the world. We've just adjusted ourselves to, listen, I know this is probably overused, but I tell you what, this has so much truth that there's a reason it's overused because of the truthfulness of it. You know what us Christians have done through the ages? Okay, what we've done is here's the world and it's getting increasingly wicked. And here's Christians. And what we do is we just keep a respectable distance away from the wickedness of the world so that we're not as wicked as the world. But as the world has become more wicked, what we've done is just kind of followed it and keep a safe distance so we don't feel as bad. But wait a minute, look at that. We're right now as Christians more wicked than the world was 20 years ago. And that is, come on, church. You want to just play a game? Are we just here for another Sunday morning? Let's check it off, put our time in. Are we willing to listen to the Spirit of God? We're talking about the future of a nation here. Brother, you know what? I'm going to blast everything that's moving out there tonight. And you know what? And you know what? Some of you be waving Bibles and hanging off the light before I get done. But you know what? Before we go there, we need to go here. Because it's the easiest thing in the world is to preach against the sins of the culture and the sins of the world, but ignore our own sins. God help us as Christians. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It's my people's responsibility whether or not revival happens. Watch this, folks. Listen, I'm going to help you. Every one of you, I'll just put you all in one big boat, and I'll jump in the boat with you. There ain't none of us that are right with God to where we ought to be right with God. None of us. Not in this time, not in this age, not in this country, not in this condition. I'm just flat telling you, there ain't any of us that God doesn't need to deal with some things. But we get before God and get honest about some things. We've gotten used to too much. Things we wouldn't have listened to, we're beginning to listen to. Things we wouldn't have watched, now we're watching. Things we wouldn't have been involved in at some point, we're involved in. And listen, we're not. All we're doing is just saying, well, I'm not as bad as the world. 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 And look how far we've come. And here's God's righteousness, and it has not moved at all. So we need to get back over here in the presence of God and all of a sudden get in His presence. Stop comparing yourself with how much better you are from the world. Get back over here in the presence of God and realize how far we've gone. We've come a long way, baby. And it's not a good way. And so that's the process that has to happen. Let's let that happen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this week. You preacher, what in the world? What are you doing just all of a sudden setting on the calendar, you know, Sunday to Sunday, Impact America? Because every once in a while, what we need to do is just stop what we're doing and settle to account some things and face some things and get right as a people. You know what? We always mean to do it. We just aren't doing it. Hey, come on, let's have a Holy Ghost revival in the homes of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's have an old brown bag revival where you just get the big old bag out and trash bag. I guess everybody uses Walmart bags. I don't know, but get some kind. Get a big one of those big old black hefty bags and just go around your house and say, you know what? It's a bunch of junk that's crept into our house that doesn't please God, and things we've grown callous to and things we begin to accept and areas we've compromised in. It's time to fill some trash bags up and just clean this place out and get on our knees and say, I'm sorry, God, for not guarding my home better and not guarding my marriage better, not guarding my children better. And Lord, I want to be right with you. Well, I'll tell you what, we need a revival in America. I know that that's true, but we need a revival in our homes. We need a revival in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. And so we need to impact America. Say, preacher, good. You're challenging us. I hope I am. I'm challenging myself. Spend some time this week in seeking the face of God. Get off Facebook. Get your face in the book. You want to hang around Facebook all the time because you know what? You can go see a bunch of heathen people on there. Look at that. Look what they put on there. And oh man, you walk out of there and you spend 3 hours doing that. And you, man, I'll tell you what, I'm a pretty good Christian. Why don't you go to God's Facebook page? Oh, he's not on there. That's something him and Jerry Ross have in common, I guess. Amen. Something you don't have in common with him, but... forget it. Why don't we just get before God's face? Why don't we spend some time in the face of Almighty, before the face of God? Why don't you just sit there and say, God, I'm going to stay here, and I'm asking your Holy Spirit, I'm praying the prayer of David, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I found out this, if you'll get quiet and you'll get serious, the Holy Spirit's not shy about reaching down and pointing areas of your life. Saying, I've been trying to deal with this. Well, no, I didn't mean that, Lord. Let's go to something else. I've been trying to deal with this. Oh, well, and then you know what you'll do? Jump up and go back and get on Facebook again. Because, come on, we're not serious. Come on. We're not. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's the mayor of Houston that's got us. Well, no, it's not. It's the Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ. If we don't deal with our sins, we have no right to point to the sins of other people. It's time we decided as a church, Blessed Hope Baptist, yeah, independent, funnel, yeah, separate, yeah, that you know what, there's a bunch of secret sins and secret sinful attitudes and little things going on here, it's been going on forever, and it's as wicked as the devil and as godless as can be, and you know what, we need to turn from those things. Not because you compared your life to a sermon, but because you compared your life to the presence of a holy God and stood there until God began to deal with you. And I mean frankly and honestly, and you in an honest heart, with an honest heart, a sincere heart, willing to change, willing to turn. God, you show me. You point at it. If you want it gone, it's gone. You point at it. And if I need to change direction, I'll change. Lord, you point at an attitude, and if it needs to go away, it's gone. God, convict me. Convict me. And that then we got to change. Now listen, God's kind of, you know what he said? And this, he said in verse 15, mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. God said, listen to me, you know what? You maybe think you're fooling everybody, but my eyes are open. My ears are open. But he wasn't just saying that accusatorily. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm looking at you. If you'll do the right thing, I'll bless you. If you'll do the right thing, I'll send revival. Hey, I'm listening to you. I'm looking for that one or two or three young people that just says, hey, this isn't just another sermon. This is an opportunity for me to get right, get clean before God, start afresh, start anew, see God take my life in a direction and settle some things that I've been battling. Come on now. We in America need to hear from God. What's the promise, preacher? Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I'm going to do something that, to be honest with you, is not probably taught in any homiletic class. It's probably would be condemned as a terrible way to finish a message. You're supposed to have a poem, a closing illustration, a poem, and a prayer. But I'm going to ask you instead to listen to a chapter of the Bible read. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, it's not the 117th Psalm. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. As we read this chapter, I'm going to read every word of 68 verses and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to preach through them, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to comment as I go. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to comment to all of us as we go through this. I don't want you to think about a nation that wasn't right with God that existed 3,500 years ago. I want you to think of the United States of America, because God's principles are universal and God is no respecter of persons. Please listen to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Are you there? Are you looking at verse number 1? It shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. Thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land whether thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch thereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord will smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt bind an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemy, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all the coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee, neither corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, whereof thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them a flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law, which are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord shall make thee plagues, thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed, for ye shall be left few in number. Whereas ye were as the stars of the heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, for ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy father hast known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondswomen, and no man shall buy you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the scriptures. And thank you, dear God, for including in the Bible the formula for healing and help and revival. God, may we realize we can't afford any longer to play games as Christians in the United States of America. May we understand, dear God, the seriousness of the hour. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would bring great conviction upon us. Help us, yes, this week to impact our nation through prayer, but oh God, please, may we understand that prayer without purity is wasted prayer. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Lord, bring revival to our nation. Lord, help it to start. It's got to start somewhere. Help us to start here in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name.